Light beer, dark money. Agree on something. Politics, culture, and the intersection of faith, freedom, and free enterprise. And now, live from the Star Worldwide Network studios, here are your hosts, Light Beer, Chris Clements, and Dark Money, Sean Noble.
Welcome back to another episode of Light Beer, Dark Money. I'm Sean Noble.
And I'm Chris Clements.
And it has been a fairly eventful week.
It's been a ganga week, Sean.
As some have said, there's a political earthquake in Arizona, which has you know, echoes across the country because of the pivotal position in which Arizona sees itself in this upcoming election.
Yeah, and you're not talking about the fentanyl spilling over the border.
No, although that is a part of it. I mean, that's an issue. But the Arizona Supreme Court, on a vote of 4-2. Made a decision that upholds the original abortion law, which is being described as the 1864 territorial law. What people aren't saying is that this was a law that was actually most recently passed in 1977, signed by Democrat Governor Wesley Bolin.
That's a good point. That is not being reported in the press.
Everyone wants to talk about
1864. In fact, if you were to look at the press, you'd think everybody in Arizona is absolutely, you know, for abortion on demand.
Yeah. For those listeners who haven't been paying attention, just a really quick take on this. So prior to Roe v. Wade being overturned, the legislature passed a bill that said that abortion is legal up to 15 weeks.
That was done by Doug Ducey.
And Ducey signed it.
It was a compromised legislation that got overwhelming support.
Yeah. And so that passed. And then Roe v. Wade goes away. And then there's this question. Oh, well, is it the original law that was in place or is it the law they passed? And why wouldn't it be the law that passed? Well, because there was a clause in the law in 2022 that said...
This is good education.
If the federal restriction or federal ability goes away, basically if Roe v. Wade is overturned, then we revert back to original law.
Yeah.
So the Supreme Court really had no choice. I'm a little bit surprised that there was two dissenting votes because I don't know how much clearer legislative intent can be than it's literally written into the law that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, we go back to the previous law.
Yeah.
Now,
but everybody, you're not hearing that on the mainstream media.
The
court has kicked it back down to the courts.
Yeah, and part of it is what
they should do.
Yeah, it was the right decision by the Supreme Court because of what the legislation said. Now, should the legislation have said that?
But also, the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, said rightly, I believe, that this is a question of the states.
Yeah.
It is not a question of the federal government.
Right.
And that is the law of the land.
Right.
And so that's why you're going to have this confluence of different laws and, you know, whatever, going from, you know, a different law in Alabama than you have in California.
And that's why, I mean, people forget that this, we have a... The concept of federalism,
yes,
is that states are the ones that have the bulk of the power and authority over laws. And I mean, Congress has taken a lot of those,
yes,
over the years. Obviously, there's been a huge overreach by the federal government. That's a series of podcasts. But the point is that, you know, the 10th Amendment is pretty clear in which says it's the enumerated powers.
Yes.
If it's not talked about in the Constitution, then it belongs to the states and the people.
And the problem with Roe v. Wade was that abortion was nowhere in the Constitution.
Right.
It was a made-up right, quote unquote.
Yeah. And so
with made-up parameters, the trimester system. That became it was completely made up by justices.
It was fabricated out of thin air.
Yes.
It was law that was fabricated out of thin air. And so the U.S. Supreme Court was right to overturn Roe v. Wade because of the issue, and push the issue to the states. Back to the states. So California can have their version and Arizona can have their version. And it just so happens that Arizona's version, as of right now, is a pretty restrictive version.
It is.
It is no abortion other than to save the life of the mother,
yeah,
period. Now, that is about as restrictive as you can get.
Yep.
And so there are many legislators who are saying, well, that's not what I voted for in 2022. And others are saying, well, that is what you voted for because it has this clause. Well, they didn't necessarily.
They never believed that Roe v. Wade would be overturned. That's the nature of it. They were voting for something they never thought would happen.
Interesting.
You know, and so in their mind, it was a safe vote.
Safe vote.
And where the country is on this issue is in that middle ground, is somewhere where science is catching up with.
Well, I'd say that in some ways, the Western world is there. I mean, in most of Europe, 14 weeks is the
12 to 15 weeks is where.
Yeah, I was going to say 14 weeks is the
most
average.
Industrialized nations have decided that is. Whatever viability looks like or anything like that, we can debate that all day long, but that is where the majority of Americans.
Yeah. So what faces the legislature is to do nothing.
Which is what they decided to do yesterday.
Well, they Matt Gress, a representative, Republican representative in Central Phoenix, introduced a motion on a bill that a Democrat legislator had, that was just a clean repeal.
Yeah.
And, other Republicans made a motion to adjourn, and they adjourned. They didn't want to. And then Speaker Toma put out a statement saying, look, we got to take a breath. This decision just came down. Let's talk to our constituents. Let's talk to each other. We don't have to rush this. You know, the court did give a 14-day window for, you know, things. And then there's also something else in law that says nothing would happen for 45 days after the court, you know, made its ruling. So it's meaning that after the 14 days. So we're really, you know, 2 months before anything can. And then if they do a repeal, it doesn't take effect until 90 days after the legislature. So there's no reason.
So basically what you're saying is nothing has really changed as of today.
Right.
And then the attorney general has also said, the state attorney general has also said, nothing is changing because I'm not going to enforce it.
Because she's not going to enforce it. And the governor, Katie Hobbs, has done an executive order saying that county attorneys are prohibited from prosecuting on this without the AG's approval. So nothing's going to change in the immediate future. Now, what may change?
I'm not quite sure that she can dictate that. But.
I mean, that should be tested. Somebody should test that.
Somebody should.
But here's my takeaway.
Be that as it may,
So there is going to be a ballot initiative on our November ballot called the Abortion Access Act. And that is pushed by the Planned Parenthoods and, you know, pro-abortion folks. And it allows abortion up to 24, I think it's viability, but that's seen as 24 weeks for any reason. After 24 weeks, it can be health of the mother, rape, incest, health, and mental health of the mother, and you don't have to have an actual doctor prescribe a mental health exception.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say this just goes too far. You can drive a Mack truck through that. It's basically abortion
on demand
anytime. Now, if everything stays the way it is, then it is a binary choice, either totally restrictive, except for life of the mother, or totally unrestricted. And my guess is that if that's the binary choice, the Abortion Access Act passes overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
65 plus is my guess. So I think that legislators, people in the pro-life community, probably will come to a recognition that something needs to be done, because if that's the binary choice, we're going to, you know, they're going to lose that initiative.
Well, and people will lose all the way down ballot on this.
If they don't fix this, then this does put the legislature at dire risk. I mean, Kamala Harris is coming out here to do a campaign event about it. The Biden campaign is going to start running ads like tomorrow on this issue. The Democrats are going to lean in hard.
Yeah.
On this issue, because it's now Arizona is the most restrictive of any state in the nation with total ban except for life of the mother.
Yeah.
There's no other state that's more restrictive than that.
But will the Republicans in the legislature actually have the wherewithal to move forward?
I think like
that? They
I
showed
think,
yesterday that they don't.
Well, they used a procedural motion to stop it. I think that at the end of the day,
and will Katie Hobbs sign it?
Yes.
So this or are the politics so
this is a, and this,
so disruptive and disgusting.
You
were
going
on this issue.
Right to where I was yesterday.
Well, I mean, I don't think Katie Hobbs signs it.
Okay, so
I think even if they were to pass it, the Democrats are going to use this as a club.
Well,
I should say, you know,
I
pro-abortion
posited
people.
That theory to some folks yesterday. Now, Katie Hobbs did call for a repeal. And the Democrats have all said they're going to repeal.
But
they
then
want
does the 2022 law then take effect?
Yes. The 15,
the 15
so
weeks.
The 15 weeks becomes becomes the operative law. So I thought, well, look, if I'm the Democrats, this is very bad for Republicans. Yeah. Why wouldn't I just leave it out there, hanging it out there for them to be hung by their own petard, so to speak? And, you know, so I was like, doesn't Hobbs veto it, you know, no Democrats vote for it. So it doesn't even get out of the legislature because we know there's Republicans who won't vote for it.
Yeah.
And everyone I've talked to, Republican, Democrat, policy guys, everyone I talked to yesterday, almost to a person was like, well, the Democrats really couldn't stand to not vote for repeal. They are so identified with this issue. And I was like, yeah, but they can say we're more likely to get the Abortion Access Act passed if there's not a 15-week alternative, if the alternative is nothing.
Exactly.
But apparently I'm wrong about that.
Okay. Well,
so we'll see.
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll see.
It's a good question because there definitely are pro-life legislators who are, despite what it would mean, they will not vote to repeal this.
Yeah.
Because they are truly pro, you know, they are 100% pro-life. And what they fail to realize, and this is what I say to Republicans who lean pro-life, are pro-life, lean pro-life, have pro-life, you know, I am pro-life, whatever. If you don't fix this, then the Abortion Access Act will pass.
Overwhelmingly.
And we
because
will have
because people won't really care to know what's in it.
It's either nothing or it's something.
Nothing,
they'd rather have something.
Exactly.
They don't care whether how. I mean,
I've given the binary choice. Like
I
you
actually
said,
put,
they won't care.
With that choice, they could pass infanticide.
It comes close.
It does come close, but they literally could.
Close,
they could write that
making
into
us
that.
More like California.
Yeah,
and those are the extremes that people are just not. They're not in tune with, or
right.
they're fed up with. I mean, nobody wants the electric in general. I'm saying. Once what's going on in California,
right.
which is pretty much infanticide
right.
up till birth, and nobody wants an outright ban. They want some recognition of a time period where this could happen.
Yeah.
Even some people who are ardently pro-life think that, well, there needs to be some recognition.
Well, and that goes to my point that if...
And then
if,
other people say, well, then you're not really pro-life. It's like, yeah, but this has been part of American, you know, politics now for 50 something years.
At the end of the day,
you can't just, first of all, you're never going to get anything federally. You're not going to get a full repeal and you're not going to get full access. Not going to happen. So the Democrats and the Republicans need to just back off of that.
Right.
That's why I don't understand the criticism of Donald Trump's position on this. It's like, I think his position is correct. That's what the court decided.
I mean, the same position as Nikki Haley.
It's actually the correct position. I don't understand why everybody's getting all their panties in a bunch.
It is the correct position because this is where I have frustration with my friends in the pro-life movement. We spent 50 years making the argument that this was a state's rights issue. 50 years.
Thank you for saying that.
Overturn
Roe
v. Wade. This is a state's rights issue.
It's a state's rights issue.
The freaking 24 hours after they overturned it, we had the people in the pro-life movement saying, oh, no, we've got to have a federal ban.
We've got to have a federal ban. And
what?
And it's like...
actual...
Yeah. And all the gains that the pro-life movement made were in increments.
Yes.
One of the biggest gains that they made federally was the ban on late-term abortions.
Right.
Which... anyone who is for that really is very sick.
Yes.
So that was, but it was all increments, and there were good increments. And changing hearts and minds after Roe v. Wade is overturned and putting it back to the states where it should be is going to take another generation. It's going to take another generation.
Generational fight. Yeah. So my point is that if we don't have an alternative, they pass Abortion Access Act, they lose the legislature, Democrats control the legislature with a Democrat governor, there will be more abortion than if it's 15 weeks. I mean, it's just, I mean, yeah. you can be a purist, but it's going to lead to more abortion.
Yeah.
So you just have to accept that.
You have to look at this as incremental
yes.
politics.
Right.
And I think Trump recognized that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets it.
He does.
So he gets it. And I'm amazed at everyone just saying, oh, he's blown up the pro-life. I think he understands this is a long ball game, right? And changing hearts and minds takes time.
It does.
But the other thing that people are going to be really worried about over the next several months, not just what happens with Arizona with abortion, is their pocketbook.
Yes. Yes, they will.
Because, inflation is cumulatively, really, if you look at different metrics and data charts and everything else, inflation since Joe Biden has become president, the worst president of our lifetime, is up really 40%.
Yeah, it's...
Anywhere between 20% if you look at certain metrics and 40% for certain things.
I mean, and that's the thing, is that...
Housing, 40%.
Right, and...
Gas is up 20% since January 1.
Insurance is up 28%, I think it is. Car repair is up 22%. I mean, this...
Child care, up like 40%. Yeah, food...
The things that that people do.
No,
on
we don't
want to
count
basis.
Food.
Right? No, we can't count food.
We can't count food and gas, which is basically what people live on.
I mean, it.
No, because we want everybody driving electric.
Right.
We don't count gas prices at $4.50 a gallon here in Phoenix.
Right.
No, that would be bad.
And speaking of,
so it's still the economy, stupid. Yeah, at the end of the day.
Well, the economy and I. But look, this is there are going to be big issues. The economy is a huge one. Immigration, the border issue is continuing to be a problem.
Biden's not going to do anything.
Well, the word yesterday was that he was looking at something, maybe doing
he was
something
contemplating
by the end of April.
Was that coming out of his cue cards? Did his cue cards tell him to contemplate something with regard to the border?
Maybe.
Yeah. Did you see that press conference yesterday?
I did.
With the Prime Minister of Japan?
Yeah. It's... Well,
turn cue card.
Yeah, so
I'm making that up, but not surprising.
I mean, it's not far off, but there are so. I mean, we talked about this months ago. Whatever you think is going to happen,
we don't know.
It's not going to happen.
Anyone who says that they know what's going to happen is lying.
They don't because I am still of the opinion that Biden won't be the nominee at the end of the day on the November ballot.
I heard today.
But maybe they think the abortion issue.
I think it's going to
so
give
much.
Them a spark of light for a minute until the economy crashes. And
yeah,
then,
I mean,
then you're going to not people are not going to care.
The thing to watch for on the economy is credit card debt and people starting to default on that credit card debt.
Credit card debt, commercial vacancies and debt, accelerating.
Fed not pulling anything back.
The Fed has no incentive to.
Yeah, we're now months away from the Fed doing any kind of easing. So, boy.
Yeah, what a wonderful world we live in. And then there's, Israel.
Yeah.
And Russia.
Well,
and Ukraine.
Yeah.
And Taiwan. And what a
there's
mess.
There's so much that's going to happen. I mean, I think we are, there's likely,
and
imminent.
Don't forget the October surprise. Wonder what that will be.
Well, I mean, it might happen anytime.
It could be the August surprise.
Yeah. So Iran is making noise about attacking Israel.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
This is going to get ugly fast.
Israel has been absolutely careful. I agree with actually Donald Trump on this. They should have gone in hard. They should have gone in fast. They should have gotten out quick. And leave the UN and the US behind.
Maybe
because because the more time they took, the more public opinion and right. the Hamas PR
yeah.
machine
because
kicked
they,
into gear.
It's taken this long because they are trying to be
they're trying to minimize casualties.
And the problem is that they're never really going to do that because Hamas uses civilians
as
shields. I mean, it's just so they're always
Hamas
going to be
a genocidal terrorist organization.
And did you see Hamas?
We should accept that.
Hamas. The word is Hamas can't agree to the ceasefire
because all the hostages are dead
because they don't have enough alive hostages.
They're all dead. And anybody who doesn't think that they are, that's
you think they're all dead?
I think they're all dead.
Oh my God.
I think they're all dead. And that's why I think Israel should regroup and go in hard and fast.
That's horrific.
And if Iran attacks Israel, that's a bad idea for Iran.
Oh,
like a really bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, if they start shooting missiles at
that's a bad idea. Israel knows every ounce of everything that they have.
Yeah.
It'll be gone in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've run out of time.
Well,
because Robin's been so nice to let us banter.
All right.
But
well,
we can talk more about that next week with a couple special guests.
Yeah. We'll be on tap. So we'll look for that.
God bless.
Thanks, everybody.